Pyrrhus of Epirus, the March to Lilybaeum. Now, the city of Eryx is roughly triangular in shape, with two sides protected by precipitous slopes. It is against the third side, which faced northwest, that Pyrrhus, and later the Arabs and the Normans, must have launched their assaults. Remains of the walls on this side have been dated back to 700 BC and are known as the Punic Walls, although they were probably built by the Elymians. Eryx was also famous for being the site of one of the hero Hercules' labors. Hercules, according to legend, killed the king of the Lemians in a wrestling match. Pyrrhus was forced to besiege the city as the garrison offered strong resistance. After a brief siege, he determined to make an assault. Theodorus claims that Pyrrhus himself led the assault, desiring to win high renown and vying to rank with Hercules. Plutarch has a slightly different version, claiming that Pyrrhus merely made a vow to Hercules that he would institute games and a sacrifice in his honor if the god would render him, in the sight of the Sicilian Greeks, an antagonist worthy of his lineage and resources. Well, Pyrrhus first cleared the walls with missiles from the siege engines, and then brought up his scaling ladders. He was first to mount the walls, and being easily recognizable in his ornate armor, became the target of the Carthaginian defenders. Pyrrhus was reported to have fought heroically, pushing defenders from the wall. But most he lay dead in heaps about him with the strokes of his sword. He himself suffered no harm. It was a terrible sight for his enemies to look upon, and proved that Homer was right and fully justified in saying that valor alone of the virtues often displays transports due to divine possession and frenzy. Well, after the capture of the city, he made good his promise. He sacrificed to Hercules in magnificent fashion and put on spectacles and athletic games. Pyrrhus secured the city with a garrison. In personally leading the assault on Eryx and being the first man upon the walls, it is possible that Pyrrhus was not only attempting to emulate Hercules, but also that god's alleged descendant, Alexander the Great. Alexander had supposedly been trying to outdo Hercules when he besieged the fortress of the rocks of Aernos. Alexander had been the first to set foot upon it, but after he and his companions had engaged the enemy in hand-to-hand fighting, received more wounds than they inflicted, and signaled retreat. Alexander only managed to capture Aernos after it had been deserted by its defenders. In taking Eryx by storm, Pyrrhus could claim not only to have equaled Hercules, but possibly to even have outshone Alexander. Pyrrhus's next advance was on the city of Aetia, which he planned to use as a base for an assault on one of the main Carthaginian ports, Panormus. The city was reputed to have the finest harbor in all of Sicily. The name in Greek means all harbor, and it's used in the context of always being fit for moorings in all weathers. Aetia, however, surrendered immediately, and Pyrrhus successfully took Panormus by storm. By following up his success by taking the fortress of Hecte, which lay near the sea between Eryx and Panormus on the plateau of the high hill rising up from the plain, Polybius describes the strength of the position. On the side looking to the sea, on that which faces the interior of the island, this plateau is surrounded by inaccessible cliffs, while the parts between require only a slight strengthening. There is also a knoll on it, which serves as an acropolis for an excellent post of observation over the country at the foot of the hill. Besides this, Hecte commands a harbor very well suited for ships making the voyage from Trapana and Lilybaeum to Italy to put in at, and with abundant supply of water. The hill has only three approaches, all difficult, two on the land side and one from the sea. Now, all of the Carthaginians' area in Sicily had fallen to Pyrrhus except for the main base, which is located at the city of Lilybaeum, which is occupied the closest point of Sicily to Africa. The Carthaginians founded it after Dionysus had destroyed Motia. In what was probably less than one campaigning season, Pyrrhus had succeeded in taking by storm three cities and a fortress held by the Carthaginians, two of which that had occupied extremely strong natural positions. The skills that he learned at the court of Antigonus, along with the magnificent siege train of the Syracusans, had served Pyrrhus brilliantly up to this point. Justin records that Pyrrhus' success up to this time had made him so popular that he received the title of the King of Sicily, as well as that of Epirus. Such a title was not unprecedented, as Agathocles had earlier emulated the other successor monarchs and called himself king. Exactly how the title was bestowed and what it entailed has not survived to us. Pyrrhus now made ready to besiege Lilybaeum. Its capture would give him complete control of Sicily. Just one more to go. The Carthaginians now took extreme measures to prevent its capture. Diodorus states that they were able to move in reinforcements, as they had gained control of the sea. Unfortunately, once in a while, and here's one of those times, their sketchy sources do not tell us the fate of Pyrrhus's fleet. Over a year later, after attempting to raise a new fleet, his forces departed Sicily aboard only 110 warships. Presumably, at some stage, either the Carthaginians had defeated the Greek fleet in battle, or it had been destroyed by a storm. This latter event was a common fate of fleets in later wars in Sicily between the Carthaginians and the Romans, and Carthaginian naval supremacy would make the siege especially difficult. And I want to add a little to that. The problem with being particularly on the southern side of Sicily, I mean, these storms come up without much notice, and these triremes and biremes and the ships that they're using at this time are fine in the Mediterranean for the most part, but in heavy seas, they act like a flat-bottom bass boat. They go over the first wave and through the second one. In the First Carthaginian War, multiple fleets and hundreds of ships and thousands of men are killed not in battle, but when they're hit by a storm. And the other thing that happens is if you can't make it to a harbor and the storm catches you from the south, it'll blow you right into the shallows and the rocks of the southern section of the island of Sicily. And the area of the sea on that side is just littered with debris. People have gone down in submarines, and you can see sitting on the silt at the bottom of the Mediterranean off the coast of Sicily are battering ram after battering ram just sitting there from these ancient engagements. So that's a real problem that you have. But Lilybaeum is just practically impregnable. Even at the time of the Romans, it's difficult to assault. Now, Diodorus records that the Carthaginian control of the sea allowed them to bring over from Africa a large amount of grain, armaments, and a considerable army. And they also recruited mercenaries from Italy. So many men in arms were sent that they reputedly could not all be contained within the walls of the city. In preparation for the siege, the garrison strengthened the city's defenses by walling off the land approaches, building towers, digging a great ditch nearly 20 meters deep. The ditch was about 25 meters from the walls, so it could easily be protected by missile fire from the city. The same ditch was cleared and reused for later sieges against the Romans, and parts of it are actually visible to this day. So Pyrrhus is going to have to do something other than his last couple of events of attacking a city. This is a super fortress for the time. So next time we'll besiege Lilybaeum and see how Pyrrhus does. The sources for this are the Plutarch's Lives by Plutarch, Wars of Alexander's Successors, Volume 1 and 2 by Bennett and Roberts, History of Rome by Livy, Pyrrhus of Epirus by Champion, Wars in the Hellenistic World by Sherratus, Ancient Warfare, Volume 13, Issue 1, Ancient Warfare, Volume 6, Issue 4. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.